text is the gospel reading from St. Mark. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly, "come out of him." The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching, and with authority. He even gives other orders to evil spirits, and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. Here ends our text. Why is the comic bit about having the last word funny? Two people refuse to let the other have the last word, and from Ricky and Lucy to Bart and Lisa, people laugh. In our text, we have Jesus, a devil, and people speaking. And someone ends up laughing. Sinners definitely want the last word. How many lay men, not women, mind you, but lay men, have told me over the years, sometimes proudly, sometimes loudly, sometimes nonchalantly, "No one tells me what to do." That's right. He has the last word on everything about his life. What he says goes. Strangely enough, this rather redneck, lowbrow attitude dovetails with a highly intellectual one. Postmodernism rejoices in there being no last word on anything. You can say black is white, I can say down is up, and a third can say color and direction are mental constructs, so what anyone says is valid. If there is no last word, everyone can rest in peace in whatever comes out of their mouth. That's where all this matters, you know, the grave. Sinners want the last word on their life. They want to have the last word about what is and isn't sin, what is true and what is false, what is doctrine and what is not. But can they rest in peace having the last word? Go ahead and try. Having the last word is fine as long as you're sure it's the right one. But I reconsider having the last word when I hear Jesus saying, "Judgment comes from the last words a man says." He says, "Out of your own mouth I will judge you." In another place, Jesus warns, it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of it. You sure you want the last word? In Greek mythology, the nymph Echo was doomed to have the last word. She was quite a talker, and Zeus used her ability to prattle to distract his wife Hera while he consorted with other nymphs. Hera discovered this and cursed her to never speak again except to repeat what was said to her. "You will always have the last word," Hera said, "but no power to speak the first." This is us sinners. We think we're speaking our last word, but in reality, we're just echoing what the devil, the world, and our flesh first said. A lot of the time, that's not so bad to us, because they flatter. They speak what agrees with fallen reason. They speak salvation in being good enough. But while you may be able to live in peace with the last words of these three echoing in your ears, you sure cannot rest in peace. You sure can't die that way. Sinners want the last word, but Jesus has it. In fact, Jesus is God's last word to mankind for all time. If all the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus, as Paul says, what more needs to be said? What more can be said? As the book of Hebrews opens, in the past God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days. He has spoken to us by His Son. God the Son is the last word in these last days. Jesus is God's last word to mankind by virtue of His incarnation. By taking on flesh and blood in the Virgin's womb, God spoke our language. But He could have done that without becoming a man. God spoke human words to Adam in Eden's evening. He spoke human words to the patriarchs. And to Moses, God spoke as a man speaks to his friend. God, however, wanted to do more than just speak information to fallen mankind. He wanted to speak redemption. And before you can speak redemption, you have to achieve it. You have to win mankind back from the devil, the world, and their own flesh. Jesus did that. He won the right to speak redemption, rescue, salvation to men, for men, as a man. Our text shows Jesus asserting His claim to fallen mankind over against an evil spirit. The Greek there is unclean spirit, a spirit that befouls ritually, morally, physically. You know such a spirit when you feel that everything is wrong in your life. You know such a spirit when with the psalmist, all your iniquities wash over you like a wave. You know such an unclean spirit when your sins are more than the number of hairs on your head. You don't know such an unclean spirit when with Isaiah you rightly confess that all your righteous deeds are as filthy rags. You do know such an unclean spirit when you wrongly confess that all your righteousness, i.e. your baptism, your absolution, your communion, your Christ, is as filthy rags. See, that is concluding your sinfulness somehow defiles Jesus' holiness. And that's as foolish as thinking Jesus got defiled by the dead rather than the dead got life from Him. Now I'm going to jump ahead, but only slightly. It's Jesus' authority that makes the unclean spirit known. It's Jesus' being and claiming the last word that pops this unclean pimple out of the man, or perhaps woman. The text just says person. The people were amazed at His teaching, we read, because Jesus taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then, a person in their synagogue was possessed by an unclean spirit, cried out. The person belonged to their synagogue. He or she sat there for years as their teachers of the law blathered on how this scribe said this, this rabbi said that. There was no last word about anything. No last word about sin. No last word about death. No last word about the devil. Only conflicting opinions. Then the last word showed up. Speaking the last word, and the filthy, ugly, wretched spirit couldn't take it. Luke's account says the demon made loud inhuman sounds like the grunting and squealing of hungry swine. Here's where the mystery of redemption, rescue from the devil, the world, and your own filthy fallen flesh deepens. The unclean spirit recognized Jesus as the stronger man come to plunder the devil's kingdom. But we, who have the last word on how that was done, are boggled by what happens. Jesus is the stronger man, but He rescues by being the weakest. He raised neither His voice nor His hand to defend Himself. Jesus is the holy man, but He redeems by becoming unholy. He was counted with criminals, as Scripture says. He is the sinless man, but He saved by being made to be sin. So much so that not only God the Father had to turn away from Him, but the Son God created in the sky had to as well. Jesus is the perfect man, but He redeemed fallen mankind by becoming less than a man. He cried out on the cross, "Behold, I'm a worm and no man." All of what Jesus became, we really are. And the devil, the world, and our flesh, they affirm this. We are weak, filthy sinners who do not deserve to be called human. You rightly belong to the devil. Your sins prove it. The broken laws of God prove it. Your own unclean flesh proves it. But Jesus says no. He, she, these, they, and those two all belong to me. I kept the law that bespeaks them guilty, filthy, and lost. I paid the price that you say their conscience and their consciences say must be paid before they can be freed. You see how easily, how quickly, how cleanly Jesus freed that poor person in our text? That's how easily, that's how quickly, that's how cleanly Jesus frees you from sin. And by freeing you from sin, he frees you from the devil, the world, and your own flesh too. Sinners want the last word. But if they get it, it will only be the damning, dunning, echoing of what the devil, the world, and their fallen flesh says. Jesus is the last word. The demons know this. Do you? This is what having authority really means. We think of authority as expressing sheer force or raw power. So we look for Jesus to burst in where the devil has us locked up with six guns blazing. But there are other Greek words to express that kind of force and power. This word expresses the idea that Jesus has the say. Now you all get that concept. The child with the birthday gets the say as what's for dinner. The boss has the say over your work. The cop has the say over whether to write you a ticket. Jesus has the say on whether you go to heaven or go to hell. Jesus has the say on your sins being forgiven. Jesus has the say, which then also must mean he has the last word on whether a person whom evil spirits, the world, and whose own conscience declares unclean is or isn't. Stop looking for Jesus to rescue from the devil, the world, and your flesh by feats of strength, by blazing guns, by works of power. That's not how he redeemed you, is it? He redeemed you by opening not his mouth. He rescued you by meekly suffering for you. He delivered you by humbling himself under your punishment, not exalting himself over it. He brings you redemption, deliverance, and rescue by words, because he has the say. And if you have the say on a subject, that means you do have the last word. Jesus wants to rescue you today from the echoes of your fallen conscience, the fallen world, and the filthy devils too. The one who gives orders and unclean spirits obey them is to be obeyed by us. He has the say, the last word about our sin, about our salvation, about truth, about falsehood. He says baptism washes you clean, and clean you are without spot or blemish. That's the last word on the subject from the one who has the say. He says, I forgive you, and that's the last word on your sins from the one who has the say. Let the devil, the world, and your flesh mutter all they want. They have neither the last word nor the say. Jesus says, take, eat, take, drink, this is my body, this is my blood. And though all the unclean devils in hell, all the reason in the world, and all the doubts of your fallen flesh say, this can't be, it is. Because he who has the say has the last word on this meal. It is his body and blood that was given and shed on the cross for your sins to be eaten and drank by you today to forgive you, to give you life, and to grant you eternal salvation. In a comedy, he who gets the last word gets the last laugh. I don't care how many times two people go back and forth on whether it's a laugh track from the 50s or a live audience from the 2000s. Always the person who says the last word, no matter how brief, gets the last laugh. Jesus has won the right to have the say, the last word, about sinners, regardless of how unclean, sinful, guilty they feel or are. And when he speaks it, the demons shriek, filth, guilt, and sin vanish, and sinners who hear and heed it laugh. Amen. Now the peace of God that passes all human understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.